Check, check. You got sound? Check, check. All right, cool. We'll go ahead and get started. Sure, Reverend Montrell prayed. So his prayers are good enough for me. I'll be covering for Pastor Phillips tonight, filling in for him. And if I'm correct and following his instructions, you're on chapter 4 called Agents. And the name of that chapter is Agents of Sin. And we're going to deal with the agents of sin and why it's so important that we deal with these. And we're going to deal with them from the back using the children of Israel as an example. All right, if you turn me to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Second Timothy, the 3rd chapter. And we'll read verses 1 through 5. Second Timothy, chapter 3. We'll start at verse 1 and I'll read to verse 5. This knowing also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters. I don't need it. Thank you. Covetous, you can leave it down in the media room. Thank you, sir. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Verse 5, all covered up and covered over. So watch this now. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, I didn't see this till just now. This is not talking about sinners. This is not talking about sinners. Sinners don't know they need to have a form or don't know anything about God-likeness or godliness. So this is actually Paul writing to Timothy, warning him about the people that are in the house. You see this? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. There are three traps of the enemy that he wants to set against this end time church that we're in. Satan, more than anything else, wants to abort God's destiny, his plans for us. He wants to stop them. And he has set traps. He's been using, and here's the thing about Satan. It's nothing new. He's been using these same traps for since he got kicked out of heaven. But now that Jesus has died on the cross, we now have more ammunition to deal with those three traps. See, you have to realize, I know Pastor Phillips probably went over it, but it's good to go over again. The only reason why the Ten Commandments exist is because the children of Israel had to see what they were doing wrong. They didn't. They just was just wilding out. But until the law was established, they didn't realize they were transgressing against God, and so Satan had. They're doing all kind of craziness. But when Moses came off the mount of those Ten Commandments, they were able to see the things that they were doing wrong and recognize that they were doing wrong. So now God could set up the atonement. He can set up the Passover so that they can redeem themselves over and over again using bulls and goats. But we don't have to do that anymore because of the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. But having said all this, the three traps haven't changed. We're going to go over three of them, the three tonight. They haven't changed. The three are immorality, financial corruption, and rebellion. Every last sin falls into one of those categories. Immorality, financial corruption, and rebellion. These are the principal traps by which the enemy has set to destroy great destinies. Immorality, financial corruption, and rebellion. When Israel left Egypt and journeyed to the promised land, the highest number that was slain came because of sexual immorality. So we're going to see these three traps. Satan used these three traps to trip up the children of Israel. Now, remember, God had just delivered them out of Egypt. They had just seen the power of God move. They had just seen God move on their behalf. But soon as they got out of Egypt, they began to revert back. Not even revert back, they began, their true selves began to come out. See, their true selves began to come out, and we're going to see these three traps that they dealt with. Immorality. 1 Corinthians 10 and 8 tells us that 23,000 men fell in one day because of fornication. 23,000 of the children of Israel fell because of immorality. If it's not dealt with, immorality will take its toll among people in this end time. I never forget, I was about maybe 7-8 years ago, I heard a message by Dr. Phil Godot. And the title of his message was, "It's not how you start, it's how you finish." It's not how you begin, but it's how you finish. You all can come up with men and women of God time and time again that were truly anointed, but was tainted because of immorality. See, here's what immorality does. Immorality does two things. Number one, it disconnects you from the voice of God. It disconnects you from the manifested presence of God. Because you got to remember now, sin cannot reside in the presence of God. Sin is what separates us from the presence of God. Sin is the thing that causes us to separate ourselves from God. Are you seeing this? So immorality, watch, separates you from God's voice, from his presence. Here's the second thing that immorality does. Immorality will taint, will discolor, will put a dark cloud over your anointing. Which doesn't give them the right, but it gives people the opportunity to say, yeah, they're anointed, but. Are you seeing this? Yeah, Jesus forgave them, but. You know, we humans, we don't let stuff go. So it's hard for us to be effective. It's hard for us to be effective. Listen to me. It's hard for us to be effective if immorality is present. You may be anointed, but if immorality is present, you won't be effective. Because number one, you won't be in the presence of God. And number two, when you are found out, be sure your sins will find you. You'll be found out. When you're found out, now what Satan does, Satan now goes back to everybody you touched in the process and calls them to question. Are you seeing this? Proverbs 6. Proverbs 6. Verse 27. And I'm going to read through verse 29. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go up on hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. So many people are dying as slaves today because sin has not been put in check. Listen to what the author says. It is better to be impotent than to miss heaven because of sexual immorality. Are you seeing this? What? Watch this. Here's another thing the author says. Why must you destroy your destiny on the lap of Delilah when the whole earth is waiting for your manifestation? 1 Corinthians 3. Holiness is important. You know, back to my first point, all those things that we talked about in 2 Timothy 3rd chapter, you know, they're going to be love of themselves more than love of God. They're going to be lying and they're going to be come with a false doctrine. That's just in the house. We see that today. We see it going on in the church today. Now watch this. Even we begin to see it with certain teachings. You know, one of the things one of the most misunderstood teachings that we have going today is people teaching on grace. One of the most misunderstood. When I say this, I'm not diminishing the power of grace, but I'm saying it so that you can understand how grace really works. Grace is not a power that is just made for sin. We have relegated it down just to sin. But grace existed before sin existed. What grace is? Grace is special treatment, favor from God. It is an empowerment that allows us to do something that we couldn't do on our own. All right? Grace showed up in verse 11 of Genesis, the first chapter, when God said, I want trees to grow, I want grass to grow, I want every herb bearing seed to grow. And then in verse 29, he gave that principle to us. He gave that grace to us. That's before Adam and Eve ever decided to eat off that tree. In other words, God was allowing them to do something that they couldn't do on their own. All right? So how does grace work on sin? Well, what happens is sin causes us to be separated from God. Unholiness causes us to be separated from his presence. Separated from his voice. So what grace does, grace empowers us to deal with that sin and get back connected, because you can't deal with sin on your own. So grace is a power or an empowerment to enable you to do something that you couldn't do on your own. That's why we have to rely so heavily on grace. Grace is not there to give us an excuse to make mistakes. But if I do make a mistake, I can't get out of this on my own. So grace comes in. Mercy, watch this now, watch this. Mercy is the floor. Grace has to come get you off. Other words, mercy, when God's mercy kicks in, other words, what God is saying, that's the Lord's, I'm going to let you go. give you a prime example. When Abraham, God told him, leave your mother and father, I'm going to show you a land I want you to go. Well, he left, God showed him a land, but famine hit that land. So Abram got nervous and scared, and what he did? He ran to Egypt. That was in straight disobedience to God. So when he got there, everything started going crazy. The Pharaoh wanted his wife. Pharaoh took Sarah. Abram lied. That's my sister. You know, my sister. Take her. I ain't trying to die. Chaos hit. Watch this. Chaos hit Pharaoh's house. Pharaoh, watch this. Pharaoh all of a sudden popped up with a great idea. This might not be this man's sister. This might be his wife. So he told Abram, hey, take your wife, take everything, and just leave. Now, watch this now. Watch this. A lot of people think that's the blessings of God that caused Abraham to walk out of there rich. No, it wasn't. It was the mercy of God. In other words, God saying, the lowest I'm going to let you go is right here. Now, Pharaoh could have took your wife, could have kept her. You could have been without her. Your destiny could have been snatched from you. But this is the lowest I'm going to let you go. That's mercy. See, mercy is when God steps in and says, even though you made a mistake, this is the lowest I'm going to let you go. Grace comes in on the floor of mercy and begins to empower you to get above where God has designed you to be. Is this making sense? So God's, watch this. So God's mercy always creates a floor that you can't go below. See, that's the comfort of being, that's the comfort of having God as your father. Even though I may get stupid and I might make some stupid decision, but God say, his mercy comes in and say, hey, this is the lowest that I'm going to allow you to go. You can't go no lower than this. I'm the one, God decides how great his mercy is. Not man, we don't decide how great God's mercy is. He decides how great his mercy is. So the floor and what grace does, grace empowers you to pick yourself off the floor of mercy and get to the throne of grace. Is that making sense? 1 Corinthians 3. So we have to understand that holiness and living right has to be a priority. If it's not a priority, then anything will just creep into the church. First Corinthians 3:17. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. You see that? He said, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. 1 Timothy 4:1. A lot of scriptures. 1 Timothy 1 begins to talk about seducing spirits. First Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God had created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Other words, immorality. See, we talk about immorality. It's not just talking about sex sins. It's talking about behavior. Any behavior that separates you from the love of God. So all these crazy doctrines. You know that I like to call this false perception of grace will separate you from God. Because there has to be, you got to remember now, it's a heart issue. If you love God, Jesus said in John the 14th chapter, he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He said in John 15:3, now are ye clean through the words that I have spoken to you. Meaning his instructions, when followed, will keep you on the straight and narrow path. So if we keep falling off the truck time after time after time after time again, yes, God is going to forgive us, but God knows we can't be trusted. So if I have my mind that, oh, I'm making a mistake, but I know grace is going to get me, I've already sinned. And God knew God was in my heart when I said it. So I'm watch this. So now God say, they already planning on sinning again. They already planning on messing up. If they look at grace in that facet to where I not in case I make a mistake, but I'm going to make a mistake and I'm going to make it because grace is going to cover me. Yeah, God is going to get you clean. God is going to forgive you, but that's not the issue. You are now separated from his presence because before you even commit the sin, he know he can't trust you. Is this making sense? So immorality is just any behavior that separates you from the presence of God. Immoral behavior, immorality, any morals, behavior, how you govern yourself, anything that separates you from, some of us may have immoral behavior might be something that we like to do over spending time with God. Might not necessarily be bad. Golf can be immoral. If I play it so much to where it intervenes with my time that I spend with God, fishing can be immoral. Are you seeing this? Shopping can be immoral. I want to hit the ladies. You know, hit the man. That can be immoral if it's a behavior that separates you from being in God's presence. Is that making sense? In this end time, seducing spirits will bring peril to many. Spirits that seduce men into immorality. Their hearts will be turned away from God by strange things, strange women, strange men. They would be carried away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that border on deception, corruption, and perversion of the scripture. Now watch this. Immorality is the capital sin. That's why immorality is the capital sin. It's a capital sin because it's the most devastating. It's the most destructive and most effective in the hand of the devil. That's why it's capital. It's deceptive. Watch this. It is deceptive. It's pleasurable, but unfortunately, it's destructive. See, that's where we get tripped up at. We talked in spirit life about your feelings and about your when your body begins to talk to you, those appetites. You have to, that's why spending time with God will cause those things to be put in check. He'll question you about them. He'll put somebody in your life to challenge you about them. And if you don't adhere to them, that behavior will only grow. Once it grows to where you can't control it, now you got to deal with the consequences. Let's go to the second one. The second one is financial corruption. In Exodus, the 32nd chapter, verses 26 to 28, and just take this for your notes. 3,000 men died holding on to their gold. When they made that golden image and kept worshiping gold, Moses got tired of it. God told him how to deal with it. He said, call the sons of Levi to you. He called the sons of Levi. He said, go through the camp killing everybody. Went through the camp. 3,000 men died because they wanted gold to be their God. Another instance is Gehazi. Gehazi, after the instruction of Elisha, was supposed to just give Naaman instructions on what to do. And Naaman wanted to give money, give clothes. Elijah said, it ain't time to receive now. Just do what I tell you to do, and God get the glory. Well, when Naaman rode off, Gehazi followed behind him and concocted a lie. Why? Watch this now. Watch what he traded in. He received Naaman's leprosy instead of double portion from Elijah. That's what Satan's objective. Satan's objective was to get Gehazi off of his destiny. And what he used? Financial means. See, this is why Jesus dealt with in Luke, the 16th chapter. I think it's chronological to turn there. Financial corruption. Gehazi, he got them clothes, and next thing you know, he wound up with Naaman's leprosy. Watch this, Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus, Jesus was hitting him. Jesus hit the rich young ruler. Rich young ruler, master, good teacher. What must I do that might inherit eternal life? He said, Jesus told him you got to, do all these, basically 10 commandments. He's checking them out. He said, I've done all those things. So he said, one thing that I lack is, go sell what you got. Take up the cross and follow me. The Bible said he was sad at that saying. Financial corruption. Jesus wanted to make sure that anybody else followed him, money did not have control of them, but they had control of it. Are you seeing that? Because, see, what people don't realize, and we as Christians try to ignore, but we need to stop ignoring this, because we like to get super spiritual. But we have to realize we live in this world, but we're not of this world. But the laws that govern this world are very real. And 99.9 of the decisions that are made in this world system are made based on money. So we find that people control each other with money. So Jesus wanted to make sure that whoever follows him wasn't under that system. That's why he told them, I'm going to send you out 2x2. Leave your purses and your wallets at home. And see if I don't take care of you. Because he wanted them to realize that money does not run them. They're run by the Spirit of God. And when you're ran by the Spirit of God, money now has to obey you. Does that make sense? Luke 16, watch this. Luke 16, I think it's verse 11, I think. Verse 11. Well, watch this, verse 10. He says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, meaning money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Are you seeing it? Just Jesus. Jesus said, if I can't trust you to handle the money right, then I know I can't get you, I can't let you loose in the candy store. I can't let you loose with unlimited power. Because I can't trust you with this thing. I can't, because you'll be controlled by the world system. So I can't let you loose with my power being controlled by the world system. Is that making sense? See, this is why Jesus, he dealt with this money issue. I mean, this is why he dealt with, man, he did it on purpose. He let the woman with the alabaster box. He dealt with the woman with the widow's mite on purpose. And I believe Judas was at all those instances because he was trying to break Judas from that hole, but he couldn't do it. Judas was ran by financial corruption. He wanted that money. How many of y'all remember Achan? How many know about Achan? Never heard of Achan. Achan, it was Joshua. They had just conquered some people. And God told him, look, don't, he said, watch this. God said, I want you to, kill everything. I want you to kill everything. Don't keep nothing. All the gold and silver is going to be dedicated to my house. It's going to be dedicated to me. Kill everything. Don't hold nothing. Just deal with everything. Come to find out that Joshua didn't know at the time, but one of the fellas that it was one of his people had kept some of the gold for themselves and hid it. Next time Joshua then went out to battle, matter of fact, they went out to battle to a group that they were supposed to have. Matter of fact, Joshua would say, some of y'all stay back. We're going to go handle these people. They ain't many. But them few little people whooped they behinds, and Joshua fell on his face crying, say, Lord, I thought you was with us. I thought you was for us. How can we go defeat these great people? Then we come to these people here who are not as mighty as we, and we can't do nothing about them. You know what God told him? God said, get up off the ground, stop crying. Go read it. God said, get up. Dust yourself off. There's sin in the camp. Now watch how serious God deals with financial corruption. And I thought this was so amazing. When Joshua found out, when God revealed to him what was going on, Joshua told him, get him, his wife, all of his children, and the gold that he stole, and burn it up. Burn it up. Burn it all up. Because we will not be dealing with financial. Why? What Joshua remembered what Moses had to deal with. He remembered that. So he didn't want to deal with financial corruption. We could close with number three. Rebellion. This is another sin that claimed the third largest number of souls in the church in the wilderness. It claimed an entire household in Numbers 16, 1 verses 1 and 2, and verses 28 through 33. Watch this. Rebellion destroyed an estimated 1,000 people in one day. Listen to this. Rebellion is a deliberate reaction against order, targeted at the leadership at all levels in the church of God. Rebellion is deadly. Any church or establishment you find yourself in and you have doubts about the leadership, get out. See, this is one of the things this school believes in order. And the whole purpose of this training center is to train people in the order of God, in the apostolic, and in government. So one of the things we tell people is, you may be learning some things that your pastor don't know, but that does not give you right to go back and begin to try to establish this in that man or woman's ministry. Because God, no matter how what they don't know or what they had to be exposed to, they're still God's set man and woman in that house. So I've seen people that have learned things that the pastor had not been exposed to, and watch this, trying to go establish it, and they got in trouble with God, trying to establish his principles. Because God believes in order. God believes in structure. He believes in things, everything in its place. He believes everything ought to be structured after his order. Authority is the order of God. And if you reject the order of God, don't expect to survive it. If you have accepted leadership over you in your office, then stop playing with fire, rejecting God's order in the church or in the family. 2 Samuel chapter 15, 16, 17, 18, and 19 tells of the collapse of a rebel, Absalom. Watch this. Every breakaway ministry ends up withered. You cannot disconnect from the root and expect to survive. Absalom died the death of a scapegoat. He would have been the next in line for the throne, but he got impatient. We must realize, watch this, for every purpose under the sun, there is a time and a season. Now, this is key. This is key. Nobody needs to die for you to rise. Nobody has to lose power for you to gain power. Nobody has to lose anointing for you to get more anointed. The first rebellion recorded in the Bible is that of Satan in heaven. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 19. And that is why, right now, he is the influence behind every rebellion. It's his ministry. That's what Satan does. Cause rebellion. When you react against leadership, you disqualify yourself from becoming a leader. Wow, did you hear that? When you react against leadership, you disqualify yourself from becoming a leader. That's Galatians 6 and 7. God is not mocked. For whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. I've watched it over and over and over again. I've seen men and women come and say they submit themselves to Dr. Thompson. They come and one guy, roll, you ain't holding me back no more. And right now, to this day, can't get himself together. Why? Because you sowed the seeds of rebellion. So them seeds got to come up. You cannot reject leadership and expect to become a leader. Luke 16. If you're not faithful in that which is another man, how is God going to give you that which is your own? It's a principle. In Numbers 12, you have the story of Miriam and Aaron. They came against Moses. Miriam wound up with leprosy. Know what that leprosy really represented? She got cut off from the presence of God. In those days, when you had leprosy, they would expel you from the community. So when she got that leprosy, she was actually expelled, supernaturally, she was expelled from the presence of God because of rebellion. The end of rebellion is death. You must guard your life against rebellion because it can come in any form and creep in on you to destroy you. Watch this now. Instructions are to be obeyed, not discussed. I believe it was Gamaliel in the book of Acts. Yeah, it was Gamaliel. They had some decisions and some changes being made in the church. And some people were grumbling about it. They didn't like it. And they didn't want this. Gamaliel stood up and said, listen, I don't really know everything. And he said, and it's me paraphrasing. I don't really know everything. I don't really understand all what's going on. But I'm not going to come against it. And I'm not going to say too much because I might find myself fighting against God. That's the attitude you must take when you're under leadership. That's the attitude you must take when you're under leadership, because watch this. If God ordained them, then God can correct them. Is this making sense? See, if God ordained them, God can correct them. And guess what else God can do? If God can't correct them, he can replace them. See, we have to trust the order of God. And a lot of times people try to find something wrong because they already have something in their claw. They're looking for an excuse. The way they can skip out. Watch this last statement and we're closing here. Rebellion is an issue of the heart. Rebellion is an issue of the heart. Rebellion begins at the heart. As I said, stated in our spirit life training class, I believe there was already something in Eve when Satan showed up. I believe there was already something lying dormant there that was already there. That's why you have to watch who you hang with, who you talking to, what they're saying. I don't let me and my wife, we don't say nothing negative at all about our apostle. Nothing. We don't discuss it among ourselves. We not doing it. Because what Satan does, Satan is very cunning. He'll come in, because remember now, it's an issue of the heart. There might be a thought that in your mind that not even that you hadn't even entertained. But if you sit there and let it resonate, he'll send somebody to say something. They say, man, you know what? That's right. The next thing you know, that thing starts off as a little snowflake going down that mountain. As it going down that mountain, they keep picking up momentum, picking up more snow. Next thing you know, it's a snowball. Next thing you know, it's a bigger snowball. Next thing you know, it's something that's going that you can't stop. So rebellion is an issue of the heart. Watch the three things now, because I'm sure I want to do my job, make sure I have you prepared for your quiz whenever, or test, whenever it comes back up. It's three things that Satan really deals with. Three traps: immorality, financial corruption, and rebellion. You all have a wonderful night.